important folks here that need to get their business taken care of with us so they can handle bigger business. I'm Kellogg, and I'm president of the commission. With me here in person today, we have Commissioner Don Benninghoven from Santa Barbara. On the telephone, we have Commissioner Richard Rogers from Carpinteria, Commissioner Michael Sutton from Monterey.
Good morning.
Shortly, we should have Commissioner Dan Richard from Upland. We also have with us on my immediate right, Director of the Commission, John Carlson, Deputy Executive Director, John Fisher, Deputy Director, Adriana Shea. We have Sherry Fombuena, Anita Biederman, and Carol Horn from our staff here today. We have Rick Thalhammer from the Attorney General's Office, who represents the Commission. We have John McAmmon, the Director of the Department of Fish and Game. We have Nancy Foley, our Chief Enforcement Officer for the Department. And we have Assistant Chief Rob Allen, Assistant Chief Tony Warrington, and Captain Brian Naslin. And with that, as I said, we've got some legislators here today that have come to address the Commission and spirit of cooperation with them. We want to allow them the first opportunity, and I'm going to let our...
That's not a good sign.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
I can hear you, but that's about it.
I can't hear anybody in Sacramento either, Richard.
Well, we're hearing each other. I think somebody flipped it off.
Well, let's just have an MRC meeting instead.
Okay, let's just
I like. We guess we better call back in, huh?
I think, yeah. Go ahead and go off, and then we'll come back. I'll call back in as well.
Okay, thanks, Richard.
Jim, good morning. This is Dan in Ontario. Maybe not. Hello? Hello?
We're here in Monterey.
All right.
Okay, here in Santa Barbara.
This is Dan in Ontario. I'm here with two guests.
I have one guest here in Monterey, but Sacramento just went offline, Dan. We're trying to get back on here.
Can somebody call Adriana or John?
I'll call Adriana by cell phone here.
Okay, we're back on.
Oh, well, here, they're back on. They're back on.
We're back on. We had a little glitch here in Sacramento. We're starting up. I want to make sure we have all commissioners on the line. Please say here if you're here. Commissioner Richard Rogers.
Here.
Commissioner Dan Richards.
Here.
Mike Sutton.
Here.
Okay, we're moving on. We're going to start with item one, a few housekeeping issues. I want everyone to know that this is being live streamed across the internet right now and recorded. It'll be available via our website as an archived audio recording of today's session in a couple of days. We have overflow issues here. Anyone who's standing up, my understanding is you need Assistant Chief Allen. If people are standing, do they need to move up to the 12th floor?
What would probably be best is the people to speak, and then if they want to go up to the 12th floor.
Well, we've only got about 23 speaker cards. We've got about 80 people in the room. So folks who are not speaking, you will be able to hear this session up on the 12th floor if you want to move up to the 12th floor. So anyone else who's coming right now, they're going to have to move up to the 12th floor, and we'll be able to escort you up there. Okay, getting started, we're going to start with item number one. And folks at the outside offices, the remote offices, if you have people with speaker cards, once we get to public speakers, let me know. Item one, reconsideration of commission policy adopted at its April 8th, 2010 meeting in Monterey related to non-native frogs and turtles. As President Kellogg mentioned, we have two legislators present who would like to speak, three legislators. So we will start with Senator Leland Yee. Please go up to the microphone, followed by Assemblywoman Fiona Ma. And who is our third? We have a card on the third one?
Ted Lieu.
Assemblyman Ted Lieu. Go ahead, Senator. You're up.
Thank you very much, John. And to the president of the commission to help staff.
Senator, I don't think that mic's on.
One more second.
On.
Do the test.
All right, thank you. You know,
yeah, that's better.
And, you know, thank you very, very much for the opportunity to speak. And we also thank President Chip Kellogg and the other John here, who is head of the department. About 2 weeks ago, both the commission staff and the department staff came to my office to talk about this matter. And let me report to you, Mr. President, that both sides of the aisle, on both the commission side and on the department side, they truly understand and the concerns that we've been raising. And I wanted to say to you that my colleagues in both the Assembly and the Senate are ready to be of help to you in terms of crafting whatever legislation or rules and regulations that is really sensitive to both sides, on both the animal rights part and also on the part of the Asian American community, particularly the Chinese American community, of allowing the continuance of these particular licenses. Let me just say that for over 5,000 years, it's been the practice of the Chinese community, Asian American community, to in fact consume these particular animals. They are part of our staple, they are part of our culture, they're part of our heritage. Now, I know that there's been some concern raised about whether or not some of these foreign species may have deleterious effect to the natural species. But clearly, it is not the responsibility, nor it is not the act of the merchants who, in fact, have carried out any efforts to degrade the natural species. If you are, in fact, a merchant, if you are, in fact, a seller of these particular products, there is no reason whatsoever that they would, in fact, release them and somehow degrade the natural, the native species. Someone may be doing it, but clearly it's not merchants, and so they ought not to then be carrying that particular responsibility nor the burden of then fixing that particular problem. They need to continue to sell those particular food products to all of us, my family and many other families within our communities. Eat those particular animals, and we use that for food and not for pets. And so to that extent, really urge the commission to relook at this particular policy that was passed so that we can continue this practice that we've had for over 5,000 years. And so with that, again, let me thank your staff on both the commission side and on the department side for their willingness to work and come to a solution that will at least address all of our issues and concerns. And thank you very, very much.
Thank you, Senator.
I have a question for Senator Lee. This is Dan.
Thank you very much, President Kellogg and members of...
Hey, guys. This is Dan Richards. I've got a question for Senator Lee.
Go ahead.
Dan?
Yes. Is he back?
Okay,
back
Dan.
Okay, thank you, Jim. Senator Lee, I appreciate your comments very much, and very thoughtful. I'm interested in a couple things. Are you concerned at all about invasive species in the state, and do you see that as a problem, or do you think that that may be some overblown issue?
No, I clearly I think the department has demonstrated that, you know, that is an issue. It's not just with, frogs and turtles and so on. You know, we've dealt with this issue, and I'm well familiar with this issue, particularly since I represent San Francisco. We've dealt with this issue relative to, you know, the problems that some of the ships create when they go to foreign shores and they take in water and then they expel that water on our shores. So I well understand that issue. I think the difference, however, on this particular matter is that you've got to find a balance. On one hand, you've got to somehow protect those native species, no doubt about it. But on the other hand, you have a practice of 5,000 years of individuals who have been partaking those kinds of food. And how do you continue to allow that to happen and yet, you know, deal with those kinds of other problems of protecting your native species? And the other issue is that somehow believing that you're going to limit the sale or the permit is going to solve the problem, I think is absolutely wrong. If you are hell-bent on deteriorating natural species, you're going to get those animals any other way, even if you were to prevent those particular species from being sold. Now, mind you, that within your commission, you have not exempted exempted the pets, pet store. So you can still get those animals from the pet store if you are interested in deterring the natural and native species.
Right. Senator Lee, I think we all know that this is just a first step. You know, the state's being permeated with invasive species across the board. And, of course, the legislature keeps cutting the funding to the department and the commission. I certainly appreciate your comments on how favorable both the legislature and Senate would be looking to this, but I'm guessing they're not going to give us any money to help manage the problem. And so how is it we pick and choose, and I understand you represent a heavily Chinese community, a Chinese-American community, and I respect that, but how is it as a commission that we're supposed to manage this problem statewide if we don't start putting some lines in the sand and saying, look, we're just not going to tolerate this anymore. We've got to stop it, because you kindly and accurately did acknowledge we have a problem here with invasive species in the state.
Well, clearly, that's a responsibility for all of us, you know, both appointed and elected officials. And that is, you know, how do you come up with a balanced approach? It's not about just taking a meat axe solution to a particular problem. And so given the fact that you've got these sort of disparate issues, you've got to find a way, a balanced way of meeting, you know, the needs of both sides of this particular question. I would imagine that within your department you've got a number of issues and responsibility, and you need to prioritize it. And I will tell you that in terms of limiting the permits, the sale of these frogs and turtle, I don't think should be a high priority. This is something that's been going on for 5,000 years. Individuals rely on that to maintain their diet and maintain their staple food, and we ought not to, just simply because we've got one issue, that we will then deny the Asian American community, Chinese community, and other communities with that particular staple food.
Would that apply to bear parts and animals like that as well? You would say we need to just let that go and not worry about that as well?
I'm not prepared to, you know, talk about that. I mean, if we want to hold a Senate hearing about bears and so on, I'm more than happy to do that. But, you know, the issue right now is, you know, really dealing with, you know, this one issue, and that is, you know, these frogs and turtles.
Right, but that's my point. We have to some point in time, and I'm fascinated to see your response there, really, because we have to somehow get a grip on this. And we have a bear parts issue around the state. We have a sturgeon issue, various immigrant populations feeling that it's important to their historical cultures, and yet it's causing great harm to the resources within the state. And how is it, you know, if we don't get a grip on it, and we've got to start somewhere, the meat axe, I loved your analogy, but candidly, this is just a pinprick. This is just getting started, and the commission's finally addressing what is universally acknowledged I think, almost all communities that we have a very serious growing problem on these invasive species. So, anyway, I get where you're coming from. I appreciate your comments. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Any other questions from the senator before he leaves? Thank you, Amy.
Assemblywoman Fiona Ma, followed by Assemblyman Ted Liu.
Thank you very much, Commissioner, and the staff of Division Games. First, I would like to thank you very much for your reconsideration of the policy decision to ban importation permits for turtles and frogs. Due to the assembly session that's happening right now, not every author could come, but I would like to acknowledge Warren Furutani, Assemblymember from the 55th Assembly District, Paul Fong, Assemblymember from the 21st District, Mike Eng, Assemblymember from the 49th District, and Dan Tran, Assemblymember from the 68th District, as well as Assemblymember Liu, who will testify after me on their support of this issue. Turtles and frogs for food consumption has been a delicate cultural issue, along with having animal rights and invasive species concerns. I think it's important that you look at the long history that these business owners have had working with both the commission and the legislature on this issue. In 1998, the commission set up new policies to protect our waterways from the imported species, and subsequent legislation by Sheila Kuehl and Mike Honda established additional protections for the humane treatment of these animals. Live food markets have had a long established history in California, and they have adapted to become better stewards. No longer are animals sold live, and they are humanely killed. I agree with the proponents of the ban that there is a serious invasive species concern with non-native turtles and bullfrogs, which are now established in many of the state's waterways. However, I differ in the opinion that live food markets are still responsible for these species being released. You'll hear from business owners today about the practices at food markets, and I encourage you to engage these small business owners with ways to improve, but a complete ban is not the answer. A ban would have a devastating cultural and economic impact on California's Asian community, many of whom are my constituents. I thank you for your consideration today.
Thank you. Any comments or questions to the Assemblywoman from Commissioners? Thank you very much.
Assemblyman Ted Liu.
Thank you. Let me start by thanking the Commissioners and staff for the public service. Appreciate that. Now, having said that, I also do want to acknowledge that you are reopening this determination. But your initial determination, I believe, has a disparate impact against the cultures and practices of a racial minority, particularly Chinese American. I believe the decision is discriminatory, and I have seen that it is these operators that cause the invasive species problem. It's my understanding that you have yet to issue a violation to these operators. And the fact that you haven't banned turtles and frogs for pet stores shows me that this was a pretty discriminatory decision. You have, and this is not a pinprick, this is a massive hammer to people, or they're going to be put out of business. And there's no evidence that they have caused this problem. And I think you need far more study. You need to link it to these folks, which you have not. I urge you to reverse your decision. It is discriminatory on its face. The laws were put in 1998. There's no evidence that those laws are not being followed. And I'd like to see evidence before the decision finally comes out from this commission that really is a massively blunt instrument that will shut down the livelihood of the people sitting before you today.
Any questions from commissioners on the phone?
Yes, I do. This is Dan again. Assemblyman Liu, are you still there?
I am.
When you say this is discriminatory, you mean this is discriminatory against the natural resources of the state of California, or discriminatory to something else?
It's discriminatory because you're singling out these operators who are almost all Chinese American. And I come from LA County. We happen to have a large Chinese American, Asian American population who also consume turtles and frogs. And it's discriminatory because, one, you're not banning the importation of live turtles and frogs for pet stores. You're banning them for the purpose of having these turtles frogs killed so they could be eaten. I'm not sure how having them killed and having them eaten contributes to an invasive species problem. And you haven't made the link that these operators have caused this problem.
And could I assume that if we also banned the importation in the pet stores, that that would be less discriminatory in your mind?
It would be somewhat less discriminatory, but again, it would be discriminatory because you're really singling out a culture and a pattern and practice that affects primarily Chinese Americans. And to me, the more overwhelming issue is you haven't really shown a link between these operators and the problem that you're trying to solve.
Yeah. Just for the record, and I want to make sure we're perfectly clear, I find that to be one of the most preposterous statements I've ever heard in my life, that this is discriminatory. So that's ridiculous. We have a major problem. We have a major problem here, Assembly.
We have not shown
you can have your opinion. You're welcome to have your opinion, but that's ridiculous.
Why have you not issued a single violation citation to operate?
Yeah, that's a different issue than calling it discriminatory, and I find that ridiculous.
It's discriminatory because you have not shown any evidence that these operators caused this problem. That's why it's discriminatory, and you're singling out Chinese-Americans.
Oh, Jesus. Thank you.
Thank you.
Commissioner Benninghoven.
Yeah, I just wanted to thank the legislators for coming over and sharing with us. It, for me, personally, it's in this process, testimony here has helped immensely in looking at the problem in a much broader way than I did initially. And very, very useful, I think, to have this cross conversation with the legislature and this commission. And appreciate very much you taking the time. I was over across the street yesterday. I know how busy you are. Of time, but I appreciate your involvement.
And if I can speak for my colleagues, we really want to thank you for your willingness to relook at this issue. We're not saying that this is going to be an easy decision. You know, you've got rather strident positions on both sides, and I guess that's why we pay you the big bucks.
Thank you, all three, for being here.
Best of luck. With that, we're going to start public testimony. I'd like to ask each of the outlying offices how many public cards they have for this. Starting with Monterey, do you have any speaker cards for this issue?
Uh-oh.
Did we lose somebody?
Commissioner Sutton, are you there?
From there, John.
Rogers is here.
Commissioner
Sutton is here.
Commissioner Sutton?
Not there.
Looks like you lost, Mike.
Any speaker cards from the Ontario office?
Yes, I have one card.
Okay.
Christine Rocher.
Anybody from Santa Barbara on this issue?
Yes, Paul Wigland.
Okay.
Sorry, John. Here in Monterey, we have one speaker card on this issue here in Monterey.
Okay. Let's start with the outlying offices. The president has set the time at 1 minute. We have heard a lot of testimony on this issue. We've got about 30 speakers here in the room. We encourage people to be very direct, whether you're for reconsideration or not. Be very direct. We're going to cut you off at 1 minute. When we ask you to come speak, be in line here. We'll start with the Monterey office, then we'll go to Santa Barbara office, then Ontario.
In Monterey, we have one speaker card, Dr. Kerry Krieger of Save the Frogs.
Okay, I'm setting the timer right now. Go ahead.
Okay, my name is Dr. Kerry Krieger. I'm the founder and executive director of Save the Frogs, and I represent our 300 members and 1,300-plus financial supporters, as well as California's 16 threatened amphibian species. The importation of non-Native American bullfrogs into California, which is the main frog imported into the state. There are millions of them imported in each year. Scientific evidence shows that over 60% of these amphibians are infected with the Chytrid fungus, which has driven 100 amphibian species around the world to complete extinction in the last 30 years. That's what we're bringing in, and there's proof of it. We're bringing in Chytrid fungus. It's driving our amphibian species to complete extinction. These bullfrogs are predatory. They cost us millions, perhaps billions of dollars throughout America to control invasive species in general. And the assertions that this ban improperly targets Asian communities is flawed. The majority of the frogs are American bullfrogs, which have only a very recent history in Chinese cuisine. And second, cultures necessarily evolve. If they did not, we would have long since eaten the buffalo and the California red-legged frog to complete extinction, as we did the passenger pigeon.
You need to wrap up because your time's up.
Okay. My final statement is that we're Americans. We have lots of choices of what to eat. So let's choose something that we can eat that doesn't impact the future of our planet. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. Okay, the Santa Barbara office, 1 minute for Paul Weakland. Right now, 1 minute.
Commissioners, Paul Weakland, I would like you to consider who benefits, who profits from this decision. I've grown up in California, and I remember this issue clear back to 1965, living in San Francisco as I have. I believe that this smacks of hypocrisy and contradictions. This issue is contrary to the other aquaculture and marketing of live species that you have made in the recent past. It seems that this would be a manipulative method to create a market for your friends in aquaculture. We know that Kim Kellogg lived with an aquaculturist. We know that Mike Sutton is promoting aquaculture through his friends wanting to share, to sell shares and stock. The known detrimental species that have already been authorized by the commission in the last few months shows that this is hypocrisy, and that if you're really worrying about California, you would have done something long ago. Turtles taste great. That is all.
Thank you. Moving on to the Ontario office.
Okay. I have Christine Rocher as my only speaker card here. Christine, you're on. You have 1 minute.
Christine Rocher, U.S. ARC, L.A. Reptile. I'm opposed to these laws on several different issues. I don't think throwing another law and banning all non-native turtles and tortoises and non-native frogs is going to solve the problem. I think the problem that we have needs to be directed directly to the public. There needs to be a public campaign against not releasing these animals into the wild. To take turtles and tortoises and frogs away from the hands of our children is a major part of educating our children as they grow up for empathy. There's a lot of kids who are allergic to other types of animals, and there are many, many, many parents who purchase and have reptiles in their schools and their homes and use them as educational turtles. There's really no non-native turtles. There's really no native turtles that we could use for educational purposes that come directly from the state of California. So that would be an entire thing that would be taken out of the pet trade that would no longer be available. To take turtles and tortoises out of commerce. There's many businesses who rely on the sale of non-native turtles and tortoises and frogs, and I think that we need to delve more into educating the public and not just throw another law after something.
Thank you.
Okay, that's it for here for me.
Thank you. In this room, I'm going to call four names at a time. Please get close to the microphone. I'm going to try to roll through these quickly. Be as direct as you can. Glenda Corcoran, followed by Carl Chan, followed by Ming Ho, Helen Kalea.
Go ahead.
And introduce yourself when you start.
My name is Glenda. I'm here on behalf of Assembly Member Hector De La Torre. He apologizes for not being here today, and I just wanted to speak a few words in addition to the letter that he submitted earlier. Again, he applauds the work that's done to protect California from all endangered species. However, he is a little troubled regarding the decision to ban the importation of turtles and frogs, in that it appears, again, as was said earlier, to disproportionately target Asian American businesses. Or the decisions outlined in his letter, including the traditional cultural cuisine from many cultures, that many of these markets are owned and managed by first-generation immigrants, and that these markets are often small family-run businesses. They already adhere to strict standards regarding the previous legislation that's been worked through the Assembly and the Senate. And again, one standard includes the bar from selling the animals live. And as a result, Assembly Member Hector De La Torre asks you again to reconsider the motion to ban the importation from that section.
Thank you.
Thank you. Check the mic, please. Next speaker is Carl Chan, Ming Ho, Helen Salea, Max Salea. Is the mic on? Double check the mic. Tap it, please.
Maybe?
No.
Here.
Battery's dead already.
Who's our contact in this room?
Oh.
All right. John will work on it.
That's me.
Go ahead and speak loud, please.
Okay.
Get a new microphone.
Using Mr. Mingho's time, just to a bit less than 2 minutes. So basically, my name is Carl Chen, and I'm here representing the Oakland China Chamber of Commerce. I'm also representing many people like myself who do not eat, you know, frogs and turtles, and I don't think I myself would like eating food like this. However, the reason why I'm here, when you have listened to some of the speakers earlier, and it's nothing new to us. You know, when we were dealing with the anti-Chinese act, you know, passed by the Congress many years ago, Angel Island for the immigrants for Chinese got to be jailed for a long time. Also, Chinese couldn't even cross across Broadway. And also, there are folks like they can be disguised into many, like, racism can be presenting in different forms. Now, what I'm trying to say is pretty simple. There is a cultural understanding of that. Many folks may not like the idea of having the consumption of turtles and frogs. But what I would like to ask everybody to understand is one thing, that the reason why we're here as also American, because we believe in one thing, and always by saying that liberty, justice for all. We are also the people that you're serving. And understanding that may be something that a lot of folks, especially, actually have a lot of respect for the animal rights groups. We are on the same page. But basically, there are laws and passed 12 years ago so that we're able to handle this food consumption in a proper way. And therefore, they will not be released in the wild and harming our environment. I know my time is up, but I just want to present a letter from the Chamber of Commerce and why we want you to reconsidering the laws just passed earlier in the last couple of months. And also would like to see that there will be allowing the businesses, you know, continue to operate, and so that the people can survive.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Helen Saleya, Max Saleya, Tommy Tang, Eric Mills. Go ahead and speak loudly. Thank you.
Okay, not sure my voice is soft. I'll try to talk as loud as I can. Okay, good morning. My name is Helen. First of all, I really want to just thank you guys for reconsidering the ban on importation of non-native turtles and frogs. Well, just bottom line is I am for the issue, you know, for the importation of frogs and turtles. I myself, you know, I've eaten frog legs and drank turtle soup before, even though I wouldn't say it's my main diet. I do eat chicken, which is what majority of Americans eat. And what I hope to portray, oh, thanks, makes it easier on me. What I hope to portray to Americans, I know, you know, for American citizens, I know chicken, I mean, how many of you guys eat chicken, right, for dinner every day? And in China, you know, like one of the assembly members said, for 5,000 years, frogs and turtles have been a staple of their diet. And, you know, if you actually take the characters, the two Chinese characters, Tian Gai, which means bullfrog, it actually translates to field chicken. And so bottom line is by taking this food away from us, and I know America is very welcoming in terms of, like, welcoming multicultural groups, and so I really hope that you allow us to continue to have this food in our diet. And just to also, I know my time's up, and just to say one thing, frogs and turtles are an integral part of our Asian food culture. Whether we are consumers of frog legs or steak, you know, I know there's, like, so many animal rights issues, but, I mean, to say, like, it's, you know, there's so many other, okay, like, for example, like, the way we treat cows and you know, in the slaughterhouse industry, are we supposed to address all of this and just take all of, you know, all of the food away, and so what's left? Just vegetables? I mean, we can all become vegetarians, but, you know, we have a choice, right, to be vegan, vegetarian, or meat eater.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for your time.
Max Saleya, Tommy Tang, Eric Mills, Linda Payne.
Thank you, Commission. You know, as a citizen who's trying to objectively understand the issues concerning the human consumption of frogs and turtles, I am puzzled a little bit by this regulatory action. It seems that the history of the resistance to human consumption of turtles and frogs has been based upon the idea that eating frogs and turtles is animal cruelty, that these animals are kept and treated inhumanely. This argument I at least understand. However, the new guidelines are focusing upon environmental impact upon our natural resources here in California. And after doing independent research, I've been hard-pressed to find any actual impartial studies that specifically study the impact of turtles and frogs imported strictly for consumption. In fact, from my limited exposure to this issue, all I seem to find is anecdotal evidence at best that imported frogs and turtles are affecting local species. And there seems to be no way to tell where these frogs and turtles are coming from. You know, as a citizen who cares about our Golden State as well as the people that live in it, what is the real issue with these regulations? Are we trying to protect these turtles and frogs from cruelty, or are we trying to protect our native habitat?
Though, need to wrap up.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Tommy Tang, Eric Mills, Linda Pang, Sohan Chang.
Hi, Commissioner. My name is Tommy Tang. I represent San Francisco Chinese Club. And I feel like Lillian Lee said, and the folk and the, you know, took it so many years over the Chinese culture and the Asian culture is put already. So they like turkey. We can eat turkey? But the same thing with the question, I see. So actually, this is the animal rights, but the turkey is also like exactly while we're eating pork and the turtle. Also, the turtle, the shield have the some kind of Chinese people and Asian community use them for the medicine too. Sometimes they like a painful, so they kind of make some soup for the turkey, the shell, dig in that stuff, so kind of the lick of pain, sore lick, something, go kind of thing. Then I was detected very good food for our community and the Asian community. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Eric Mills, Linda Pang, Sohan Chang, Virginia Handley.
Good morning, Commissioners. Eric Mills, Coordinator of Action for Animals. I've been working on this issue for 15 years now. Yeah, two unanimous votes to grant the importation permits for frogs and turtles. I'm in the markets almost every week. 2 weeks ago in Oakland, I found a bunch of Florida soft-shell turtles at one of the markets, which are illegal in California. They're not permitted. I called CalTIP. We sent a warden. The market did not have a permit, so they confiscated 7 cases of turtles. It was 20 to 30 turtles in each case and sent them back to wherever they came from. Whenever I'm in the markets, almost invariably see black turtles and frogs being sold over the counter. It's a common practice for many Buddhist sects to do animal liberation ceremonies, Chinese New Year's, those sorts of things. Dr. Richard Bailey at Oakland's Lake Merritt says he constantly sees turtles released into the lake, which is salt water, so they all die of kidney failure in about 2 weeks. And a lot of people who think they're doing a kindness to the animals are really hurting the environment. Hmm. When these animals are released into the wild, Golden Gate Park is full of. They eat the native species, displace them, bringing all kinds of diseases. We've had
health. Wrap it up, Eric.
Done. I'm worried about the health of the Asian community, too. What we really need is a permanent ban on this. Nobody's going out of business. You can still buy frozen turtle and frog. 5,000 years in China. Tradition justifies nothing.
Thank you.
United States. Thank you.
Linda Pang, followed by Sohan Chang, Virginia Handley, Pius Lee.
Linda Pang needs their interpretation, so it can be allowed a 2 minutes call.
We'll wrap it up in 1 minute.
My name is Linda Pang. I am living in San Francisco. We have a Chinese Liu Xing Fa Chinese Jingmei.
There is a doctor from a Chinese medicine. He testified to this fact. Hawks and turtles are very tasty. Turtles and hawks also have many medical values, especially after surgery.
保養血氣,養肝,保血,身體能夠早復原。Strong,
strengthening the livers and the hearts.
這些中醫藥,中醫藥材,
It's been tested, giving very valuable, strong into recovery for good health from the Chinese medicine point of view. Turtles and fox will strengthen your physical well-being.
Okay, your time's up now.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, Sohan Chang, Virginia Hanley, Pius Lee. Sohan Chang.
John?
Yes.
Is it at all possible to make it so that we can understand these people a little better? I'm really having difficulty following.
There was an interpreter. Interpreter, please speak a little clearer into the microphone. Why don't you speak into the microphone? Don't let them speak into the microphone so everyone can hear. Go ahead.
Mr. Su is a resident from the Vegetation Valley of San Francisco. He is 73 years old.
我現在對一些青蛙，即是我們所說的田雞，及為這個蛇、烏龜，有限制，所以我們有些意見。
He has a view on limiting import of fox, snakes, and other animals.
剛才楊女士已經介紹了另一種，現在介紹這個田雞的，因為這個介紹的當中就不是屬於我個人意見。 剛才那個梁老師已經介紹了，即是那個醫生，即是寫得很清楚，那個資料就關於三種，因為時間限制，所以我只有講這種，剛才他就講另一種，我要講田雞好些方面。
Now he just want to express his view on the benefit from the fox.
這個田雞是一種精美的食品，它不但是味道是鮮美，而且營養很豐富的，更有醫療價值。
Or also very tasty, and it also increase your health vitality.
而且咧就對譬如講我哋年紀大嘅人，對啲身體弱啊、虛弱啊，我哋有啲中醫啊，就即係話田雞加埋呢個藥物咧，個黃芪啊，叫做黃芪湯啊，或者燉低燉品咧，就對我哋健康方面咧就增強身體，等我哋。
The Chinese doctor recommend for the seniors.
Okay, your time's up.
Just finished. The total four with herbal medicines so that they can maintain their health. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Virginia Hanley, Pius Lee, Paul Lee, Wilma Pang.
Hello, Virginia Hanley with Paul Pack. And we support you. Having this policy, there has been a lot of support for this, and it's not just among animal rights people. It's the environmental movement is also in support of this, and the effort to keep non-natives from impacting our native wildlife. The CHUL bill that passed, I believe in 2004, that was to try to meet some of the problems on the humane issues. It was not on the environmental level. It did not address that. It was just trying to take care of those animals that were there. That law is not really being enforced at all, and certainly not around the state. The prohibition of the animals leaving the market alive, that really applies to aquaculture, that regulation.
That's it, Virginia. Wrap it up.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Pius Lee has one card attached, or actually has several cards, but he gets 2 minutes. Paul Lee, Wilma Pang, Eric Chu.
Okay, thank you, Mr. President. My name is Pius Lee.
We are here today with a group of 80 persons, some of the people are downstairs, to ask you to reverse your April 8th decision to stop issuing permits for the importation of turtle and frog for food consumption, because your decision will eliminate hundreds of jobs in the Chinese community and will reduce overall business for hundreds of Chinese restaurants throughout California. And this ban is unnecessary after the passage of AB 2479 and AB 238 in January 1st, 2001. These two bills would be able to cover all the pro-animal food concerns, including the issue of animal cruelty and releasing the animal wild to the public water. As a matter of fact, AB 2479 was sponsored by the pro-animal group. This is what they want. In the bill, that in the event you make a violation, you get your first written warning, second violation, 255 to 1,000. Okay? So this is what they want, you know. See? And as a matter of fact, after the passage of this bill for so many years, merchants received no violation from your department. So, Commissioner, I think instead of the ban, we strongly recommend to ask you to enforce the existing law and to develop new rules to cover pet stores who sell live turtle and frog to the public. And also develop a educational program to educate the general public. So, Commissioner, save our job and respect the Chinese culture, and please reverse your decision. Thank you.
Thank you.
Paul Lee, Wilma Pang, Chu, David Chu.
My name is Paul Lee. I have a fish market in San Francisco over 30 years. Since the 30 years, I have been selling live frog and turtles. And there are hundreds of thousands of customers come to our market to buy their frog and turtle for their healthy food diet. And over 30 years, at least, I never heard anybody went to the health department to complain about getting sick from eating frog or turtles or even touch them. And from time to time, the health department is better come over our market and doing the routine inspections. They are very happy. What are we doing? We give them fresh water and food and rope to breathe. I'm here standing to express my opinion that ban on frog sale is not only unfair to our merchants, it's also unfair to all people who eat frog and turtle to eat daily. Thank you.
Thank you.
Pang, Eric Chu, David Chu, Gigi Ma.
Good morning. My name is Wilma Pang, and I'm the founder of A Better Chinatown Tomorrow, and also a professor at City College of San Francisco. Anyway, I'm here, literally, live in Chinatown among the turtles and frogs. I witness Grand Avenue is dwindling, but Stockton Street thriving. There are thousands of storefronts closing in San Francisco. But you know that the bustling and the hustling of San Francisco's Stockton Street, because the live turtles and live frogs and fish, people come all over the city and the Bay Area to shop because they like the freshness of the product. And also, you know, the recession is really hurting a lot of economies. But this one economy, San Francisco, Stockton Street, witness that. People come all over to shop. The product is reasonable and fresh. So here I am, I'm asking you to really consider reversing the April 8th. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Eric Chu, David Chu, Gigi Ma, Monica Ingebrigtsen.
Mr. President, Fisher Game Commission, good morning. David Chu, California. First of all, I appreciate your reconsideration for non-native frogs and turtles importation permit hearing today. meeting today is only concern the economy. We all know California's economy is very bad and has the highest unemployment rate in the nation. Our new budget's proposal, California, looking at a $20 billion deficit. Our government is working very hard and try to create more job opportunities. This is the key to solving this huge deficit of California. Banning this importation permit will harm our suffering economy more. The ban will result in loss of business income and thousands of more layoffs by pushing away all the processing, wholesales, retails, and trade service jobs to other states or even other countries. This is not helping our solve California deficit. Actually, it will make the situation even worse.
And you need to wrap up.
No one is above the law. The states of California passed two laws, AB 238 and AB 247.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank
you.
Your time's up.
Thank you.
Eric Chu, Gigi Ma, Monica Engelbretson, Pamela Flick.
My name is Eric Chu. I'm from Northern California. I just want to bring up two issues because what I want to say is this in my folder. And why this issue is bringing up on the table? Because there's some animal groups, they don't want to see our culture in United States. And secondly, for a decade, we don't see a single our customer come back to us to complain. They've been eating pork and turtle, has been sick. And that's all.
Thank you. Gigi Ma, Monica Engelbrechtson, Pamela Flick, Bill Wong.
Good morning, Commissioner. Good morning, everybody. My name is Gigi Ma, and I have a Chinese restaurant. And please respect our Asian culture and give us back the right to eat. Please save our workers' jobs and continue to import the ball, turtle, and all. Thank you.
Monica, you
going to USA and just here to reiterate the comments that we sent, the detailed comments that we sent to you along with Defenders of Wildlife, urging our support on the ban on the import of non-native turtles and frogs. And as we said in our comments, we urge you that this is the important, and we further urge you to add species of non-native turtles and frogs to Section 671 as pets in pet shops and markets and swap meets. They pose a risk to our environment as well as human health. Forms grief documented turtles under 4 inches being sold at the markets and swapping shops, which is a violation of federal law. We also encourage you not to allow an educational exemption, so this is the loophole at which these stores continue to sell the animals directly to small children, which are at the largest risk of salmonella.
Thank you.
Pamela Flick, Bill Wong, Nicole Paquette, Ming Ho.
Good morning, Commissioners. My name is Pamela Flick. On behalf of the Defenders of Wildlife, I urge the Commission to retain the ban on the sale and importation of non-native turtles and frogs in an effort to safeguard native wildlife, agricultural interests, wildlife disease, and public health. We feel the most effective means of addressing this issue would be to add non-native turtles and frogs to the prohibited list, the species list in Section 671 of Title 14, with a grandfather clause allowing those currently possessing such species to keep the animals currently in their possession. For identification and enforcement purposes, it would be most effective to add all non-native turtles and frogs to Section 671. Alternatively, we ask that the Commission consider adding the species in our joint letter aforementioned, which would prohibit their sales in any location. These species have demonstrated ability to colonize in California, are closely related to species that have colonized or have demonstrated invasiveness, hybridization, predation, or disease risk, particularly the highly infectious chytrid fungus. In sum, we urge you to retain the ban on the sale and importation of native turtles and further urge that you consider adding species to Section 671.
Thank you.
Bill Wong, Cole Paquette, Ming Ho, Carl Chan.
Good morning, Commissioner. Thanks for the good time. I'm representing a Chinese Consolidated Benevolent Association. This association being great in Chinatown for over 160 years. And I think the fork and turtle is real good for the Thai community. If you don't believe it, you can ask Pete Wilson and Arnold. Pete Wilson get into Chinatown in 1993 and eat lunch over there. We serve the pork for him. And also, Arnold been getting there in year 2006 and ask him about how it tastes, all right? So, and on behalf of the Chinese community, and I strongly urge you to reverse your decision on banning the turtle and pork from food consumption. Your decision would create considerable unemployment in the
Chinese community. You need to wrap up. Your time's up.
Okay. I will send this letter to you.
All right. All very right. Good.
Thank you, Nicole Paquette, Ming Ho, Carl Chan, Finny Fooney.
Thank you, President, members of the Commission. My name is Nicole Paquette, and I'm here on behalf of the Humane Society of the United States and our 1.3 million members. We first want to thank you for your leadership in adopting this policy, and we urge you to uphold the policy today. It was passed originally to protect our native wildlife. As the Commission noted, threats posed by non-native species released into the environment include disease, hybridization, competition, and predation. The importation also puts native horse populations of turtles and frogs at risk. A recent study of western pond turtles in urban California environment encountered 9 species of non-native turtles in the waterway. The authors concluded that non-native turtles appear to be a serious threat to the native species. Red-eared spiders, the most frequently encountered non-native turtles, were found to pose risks, including competition of basking sites, the introduction of species, and a male-to-female ratio that favors a higher reproductive rate for red-eared spiders than western pond turtles. The Commission made a very strong statement throughout this administrative process of their strong support for this policy, which is based on careful and deliberate consideration, and stressed the urgency in putting this into place. We urge you to uphold this policy. I'll support the Commission in its next steps to add turtles and frogs to the list under 671. Thank you.
Thank you.
Ming Ho, Benny Thuny, Henry, Judith Lim.
Hi, my name is Finny Fong. I'm from Chinatown. I've been helping my parents run a restaurant in Oklahoma for the past 8 years. We also have 3 wines here from Chinatown for the past 15 years. To let you guys have an idea why it is so important to have turtle soup, I understand they can't explain, but the main ingredient for turtle soup is an herb called toad. The herb is known by every Chinese family that they use the same ingredients for soup. The main reason for this soup is to basically take away the toxins from the body, build a balance in the body, and build a stronger immune system. I grew up eating this soup since I was a kid. My mom always cooked me for porridge since I was a kid. We don't believe much in red meat. We don't eat much beef. If you go to any Chinatown market, you probably have a hard time finding beef, rib eyes, you know, domain young, and you know, just T-bone steak. We believe more in seafood. That's why if you say that it's a health food source for us, it is very much. And I would like to continue this for the next generation. And to me, I think it's a big thing when these guys say that there's a legal dumping wild animals into the wild, brought into the wild. Who is doing this? It might be there's some bad guys out there. Could it be moms buying those for the kids and releasing them in the wild? If that's the case, we need cash of bad guys. Like, for example, guns. Selling guns is illegal, but for those people who use that to kill people, it's illegal. So those people...
All right, your time's up.
They do not. So I hope that any of the food is my reason.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Henry Chung, Judith Lim, Vivian Lee, Mabel Sito.
Good morning. My name is Henry Chung. I'm from San Francisco. I'm a chief distributor. I've been doing this business for the last 25 years. And I never heard of any complaint about eating turtle or frog and getting sick. And if you can decide to ban on the importation of the live frog and turtle, the impact will be really severe to our economy.
because a lot of restaurants, chicken helpers, wholesale, retail, market, they will cut down their workforce. A lot of people will be out of work, and the state will be more unemployment. And more unemployment, more family tragedy, more foreclosure. And I think the state will collect less sales tax too from the restaurant, less income tax. That's it. Thank you.
Thank you.
Edith Lim, Vivian Lee, Mabel Sato, Derek Chu.
Hi, my name is Judith Lim. I'm just recently retired, and my total focus is on my health. I do a lot of salmon because of omega. And as far as I know, I've made some studies for the study in the service of shrubs. And those are for the strengthening of the kidney function. And when one is weak in the kidney, that's what they usually do. And also, I've also learned lately about because about other functions too. So please think about, like, you know, what, why don't we spend on potato chips, stuff like that. But just wanted to let you know, I wouldn't think this spending is a solution to the endangered species. These are dumped into the river and stuff. We eat it. So I'm not just treating kind of one frog to another frog.
Thank you.
Vivian Lee, Mabel Sato, Derek Chu, Gary Chu.
Hi, my name is Vivian Lee. I'm here today to appreciate the situation in the government to consider issuing permits for the importation of live turtles. I will use a personal example. Father got this cancer about a year ago. In our Chinese culture, we believe turtle soup will prevent disease. So, I'm not sure whether this is true, because also there's no medical evidence to prove that, but mentally it would help, would comfort my father's mind and give him confidence to fight with cancer. So that's why I'm here today. Thank you.
Thank you.
Mabel Sato, Derek Chu, Gary Chu, Florence Key.
Good morning.
State your name, please.
Oh, my name is Mabel Sito. I'm a APACC club chairperson, and I have one bus people they come to, and I help them to feed something they need to. They say, come, you need to change the rule. How come you guys don't change the something about the cow, about the chicken? Then they come to the California. How come it's fox and turtle? And we need to save our cultural food. And I.
我哋嘅街坊啊，即係話會之前我今日所講嘅嘢，就係話我哋要保留我哋傳統，同埋我哋會，我係今日係代表你哋講一啲，我係希望，你哋係咪啊？Thank you，我，thank you，嗱，我先得，let's go，just want to say that his commitment sent her here and she represents thousands of these seniors. And Nick Cavity and eating turtles and pork. Thank you.
Thank you. Eric, Gary Chu, Lawrence Key, Catherine Pierce.
Good morning. Thank you, Commissioner, for the time. My name is Derek. I'm also representing AT and all these LGBT people who don't speak any English. First of all, I'd like to point out this is a discrimination to our Asian food and drink culture. That's what they told me. The reason is because you guys don't understand why we eating this food, not just the good taste. It is for their health, especially for the elderly. They use it like the turtle soup. They use it to recover their body after the surgery. They use it to maintain their healthy body daily, as a daily diet. So if you're doing the banning the importation, you guys are taking away their health. You guys are taking away the business owner's business, taking away the business from the restaurant. So I urge you to reconsider the decision or to reverse the decision to all these people's account. Thank you.
Thank you.
Gary Chu, Lawrence Key, Catherine Pierce, Richard O. Okay, Gary Chu passes. Florence Key.
Good morning, Commissioner. My name is Florence Kong, a Statutory Foreign Rights Commissioner. I request the California Fish and Game Commission receive a ban on the importation of turtles and frogs. We need to respect the Asian American community, Asian culture, and Asian-owned businesses. We don't appreciate anyone who using the guise of protecting California's fragile ecosystem to hurt the immigrants' quality of life. While we applaud the Commission's work to protect the California ecosystem, we understand there are existing law AB 238 and AB 2479 not to release lice and turtles that have worked well to alleviate the Commission's concern. Our community is concerned with California's environment as much as the mission. There is no evidence data from any studies have been presented, and no from our communities have been contacted to collaborate with the commission to address legitimate concerns.
You need to wrap
up. We are open to working with the commission to find an equitable solution, vote to allow the importation of turtles and frogs to ensure harmony of our community. Thank you.
Thank you.
Commissioners, my name is Richard Au. I'm 80 years old. I am a consumer of turtle and forks and lots of vegetables. If you let me supply me with turtles and forks, I'm going to live another 80 years old. 80 years old. And I will be back. I'm also a visitor of the Golden Gate Park. And the gardener is a good friend of mine. And they never seen anybody let off live turtles and frogs in San Francisco Golden Gate Park. Permanently, no problem. And I also shop frogs and turtles in Chinatown. And I know many of these shopkeepers. They received a citation for the last 12 years. There must be no problem. And I also know many friends of mine, they work in the health department in San Francisco. And there are other health departments in California. They never receive any complaint or give out, put out alerts for people not to eat turtles and continue shipping in from the other states, foreign country, and turtles. Thank you.
Thank you.
Last on this item this morning, Catherine Pierce.
My name is Catherine Pierce, and I'm here to support the band. I've heard a lot of money, and I read a lot about the kindred fungus that is destroying our frog population. It seems to be very little known. We don't know a whole lot about it. We don't know what it can do. And this pathogen that's coming into the cell. And it frightens me to think that a pathogen that's been known would be in the community. It shocks me. It also shocks me that the Chinese community is so for importing drugs with this pathogen, when they could be harming their children and their grandchildren. We don't know about it yet. The other thing I'd like to address is someone in the history was talking about eating turtles, imported turtles for education purposes. And she stated that there were no native turtles that they could use for that purpose. And it used to be quite common, but it's being outcompeted by the later tigers. So I would like to suggest that if they need turtles for educational
purposes, you need to wrap up your time's up.
Well, rid of their turtles and help to mitigate the problem that's already been caused, and make it could catch more frogs too for food.
Thank you.
That concludes public testimony on item number one. Commissioner Kellogg?
We have no other reports. Any commissioners got any comments after listening to the testimony or questions? Richard Rogers, Mike Sutton, hear me.
Yes, President Kellogg, this is Richard Rogers. I do have a comment. I'm immensely sensitive to the needs of the ethnic committees of the state of California, into their historical and cultural issues. But that is something that is outside of the purview of the Fish and Game Commission. The Fish and Game Commission needs to worry about the native resources of the state of California. And any threat to those resources is something that we have to address. We are required to do so in all sensitivity to people's cultural needs and concerns. Here in the state of California, primary responsibility of this commission is not cultural interests, but the needs of the native wildlife. I'm confused, although I think I've heard maybe another cultural issue. We have been discussing this issue for a considerable period of time. In fact, if you listen to Eric Mills and Virginia Hay, it's been decades, but I think it's been on our official list for a couple of years. We have never heard single comment from the Chinese community in San Francisco or anywhere else, not a single presentation about this issue. So if this issue was indeed so very important, and I'm not questioning the veracity of the speakers today, because they were quite impassioned, many of them. If this was so very important, why is it that we did not hear about this during the entire deliberation period? I'm going to be giving due deference to the senator and the assembly people. And I am open for a reconsideration here, but I must tell you, I am not open, absolutely not open, to backing away from this issue. What I am open to is something that would make this issue, that would allow the Fish and Game Commission to continue protecting the California native wildlife, but in doing so, give due deference to the good merchants who, in fact, have done things correctly in accordance with the law that has been cited so many times. I'm assuming that the ethnic communities would be delighted if we passed something that harshly dealt with those who are breaking the law by either inhumanely dispatching these animals or allowing them to walk away with a live one. I'm assuming, at least from the rhetoric today, that they would be delighted with us doing so, but continuing to allow their sale to those merchants who, in fact, do the right thing. Where I'm sitting on this, and I'm curious as to what my fellow commissioners feel about it.
Thank you. I agree entirely with the comment just made by Richard. Seems to me we've got an awful lot still in terms of enforcement of introducing invasive species. We're just not doing a very good job, and it's not any one particular fault. It's a tough issue. That's what we're talking about. It's one major area.
our interest is to try to get at the question of making it more difficult to release the species to the wild. And that was the motivation behind the action that would prohibit the licenses for the importation. And I agree with that goal, but I also, reconsidering, and feel that our action was not the best action that could be taken in that. So I would like to make a motion to
I have other comments. Hear from the rest of the commission first, and then we'll entertain a motion. Commissioner Richards or Commissioner Cotton, would you have any comments at this time before I
do, Mr. President, in Monterey. It's Commissioner Sutton from Monterey. I want to draw the attention of my fellow commissioner that I've received from Professor Bradley Schaefer at the University of California at Davis. And I want to quote from that letter because I think it has a bearing on our decisions on this issue. Professor Schaefer, who is a herpetologist and has studied turtles and frogs for many years, including the impact of non-native species on our native fauna, says in part, quote, "It is very clear that non-native turtles have a long-term detrimental effect on our native species." He goes on to say, "The non-natives outcompete, outreproduce, and eventually outnumber our native turtles, leading this already fragile species to decline even further in its natural habitat." Professor Schaefer concludes that we should do everything, quote, "we should do everything we can to avoid bringing live specimens into the state where they can be sold to and released by our but poorly informed public. Banning their importation for food will help address this problem," unquote. So there we have the best scientific advice that we can find. I personally, Mr. President, see no reason to reverse or amend the decision that we made a couple of months ago. I think that our job, as I've said many times, is to be the best possible stewards of our wildlife resources we can in California, and that means protecting them, protecting our native species and their habitats from the impact of invasives. I stand by our decision earlier this year. Thanks.
Commissioner Richards.
Thank you, Mr. President. I'm always pleased and surprised with my fellow commissioners' thoughts and well-thought statements and well-presented and so thank all three of you for that. I am 100% aligned with Commissioner Sutton's approach, with one caveat, which given the way he said that, I'm guessing he's probably in line with that as well. I think our problem is, which has been pointed out, we probably didn't go far enough. We clearly have a pet trade issue here as well. That's to be discussed and decided at another date. But if we don't, you know, I'm sitting in with a very nice lady who's involved in this trade, and we've been having a wonderful conversation about this. But the reality is, commissioners and stewards of the resources, it's our obligation to make policy that is protective of the resource. The department, the biologists within the department, outside experts, all almost in unanimity agree that without the ban on the importation, we will continue to see invasive species taking over, dominating, and in some cases eliminating the native species. Exactly the opposite of what I know all of this commission wants. I am not confused about that at all. I must tell you, Sir Yee, Assemblyman Liu's comments on the discrimination infuriated me, because that is exactly the politics that enter into these decisions that should never enter into it. It's got nothing to do with discrimination, and he knows that, and I find that offensive to this commission who works so hard to make the right decisions. But anyway, I see need to change what we've already done, And candidly, it just puts on our radar screen that we need to now expand it and continue our, and I'm going to call it a war, for lack of a better word, on these invasive species that are decimating our native wildlife.
Okay, it's my turn. All the commissioners are absolutely right. We're dealing with quagga mussels and mitten crabs and stuff like this that are invading our native habitat. But at the same time, and I appreciate Commissioner Sutton agreeing with me to put this on the agenda for the full commission to hear after the testimony of a few weeks ago when there was just the two of us there and we didn't have quorum to take any action. And thank you, Mike, for doing that with me. I've been on this commission. I'm the senior member. I've been here nearly 10 years. This issue's been before us ever since I've been on this commission. We have had people speaking against it from the pet market store industry, but we have not had anyone from the Chinese market community. So I've been on this commission testifying before us. That being said, I'm not convinced we haven't done the right thing. But that being said, we deal with so many issues where we give the public opportunity to have their say over each issue. And I'll refer to the MPA as a prime example of that. I don't know why these folks haven't been here in the past to testify and tell us about the honest people being hurt over the decision that we would make. But it hasn't happened, and in the last two meetings it has happened, and I think that we can't just turn our heads on that. We have to take all of that into consideration. It's just like else in the world. There's bad people in every organization that's messed it up for the good people, and I see that being no different here. The whole point is, we're not going to change this if we outlaw this second and stop them all from coming here. It's not going to change overnight. So for us to delay the decision a little bit longer and maybe make the language be a little bit more helpful to the honest people that use these things at a time when the economy and jobs and businesses and livelihoods are being destroyed across the nation, I don't want to be a part of, maybe this is because of the real job representing working people. I don't want to be a part of putting more people out of work and out of business and hurting them financially at this time. So I'm willing to revisit this, take a look at how we can tweak it to help prevent that from happening in the future. So, with that, I'll go back to Commissioner Benninghoven.
Yeah, it sounds inconsistent, perhaps. I agree with all of the commissioners. I think Dan and Mike are absolutely right. We have to increase the enforcement of releasing invasive species to the wild. That's really our mission. And I don't think our present situation allows for easy enforcement of this particular area of frogs and turtles. So I would like to make a motion that would hopefully end up with a much easier way to enforce any illegal introduction of these turtles or frogs to the wilds, make it easier for it than it is now. It's very complex now and very difficult for the department to enforce. So with that sort of a zero tolerance approach, reporting the markets and the wholesalers that are following the law, which is 99% or higher, but going after those that are not. So, I'd like to rescind the commission's April 8th action, 2010 policy on non-native turtles and frogs, and to direct staff come back with recommendations on regulatory / legislative or policy solutions to ensure that purchased animals are humanely euthanized prior to leaving food market premises and to increase penalties for violations. I can read that again if you wish.
Very good. Commissioners, you heard the motion. I'm looking for a second. I'll second the motion. I'm going to ask for a motion has been moved and seconded. Ask for a roll call vote.
May we have some discussion, Mr. President?
On the question. On the discussion. Commissioner Richard.
Are we going to have a discussion, Jim?
Yeah,
or?
We're open for discussion right now. It's from the commission.
I think I've said enough. Thank you.
Okay.
Commissioner Rogers asked that.
Commissioner Rogers, did you have a question?
Yeah, I did, Mr. President. Thank you. And this is a question for, I guess, all of us, but in particular, Commissioner Benelton, who was proposing this. I think I have no problems with it's been going on so darn long. With another couple of months of consideration, I have no problems with that, except I stand squarely with Dan Richards and Mike Sutton with respect to the ultimate need for this commission is to seek a perpetual endeavor of reducing any impact, negative impact to California native animals and plants and birds. So one of the things that Don said in his motion was increased penalties. I would be uncomfortable for this motion if I thought that we would be in a position where some guy gets a $200 fine if he gets caught, and as we all know, the warden are wildly overworked, and it's very difficult for them to enforce regulations. And in fact, people who are also charged with enforcing regulations can be not necessarily inclined to enforce them because their district attorney, who are locally elected, may not be interested in bringing those penalties, those offenses to trial. I would be interested in voting for Commissioner Benninghoven's motion only, and I mean only, if the penalty was one violation, you're out of business forever.
Mr. President.
Commissioner Sutton.
Just a quick comment and a suggestion. I am sensitive, like my fellow commissioners, to the need to be culturally sensitive on this issue. None of us are interested in promulgating anything discriminatory, obviously. However, as I've said before, and as we all recognize, we have to put the interests of California's wildlife first. I have a suggestion. I'm not comfortable with the resolution as it has been proposed. I don't think that it's necessary to rescind what we did earlier this year while we're exploring additional regulatory options. It might be better, Commissioner Benninghoven, to withdraw your motion and suggest instead, and I think we could all agree to this, that the department and our staff explore additional regulatory options that might be more appropriate and even more far-reaching than what we've done already. But I strongly hesitate to rescind what we've agreed to already unanimously originally just because we didn't get it quite right, we may not have gotten it quite right up front. I think what we've done is an important first step. It may not be the totality of what we need to do. I'm certainly open to additional steps, but I think we could continue to maintain our action that we've taken so far while we're exploring additional regulatory options. And that wouldn't even require a resolution.
I've got a first and a second on this motion, so rather than ask to be withdrawn, I want to take a roll call vote on it.
Can I respond?
Sure.
This is Don Benedetto and Mike. The goal is I agree with 100%, but I think you need to signal that you're not going to be putting these small businesses out of business in the process. They need assurance that they can continue to those that are abiding by the law and are not releasing and realize that if they do release that this is would be a serious offense. While we anticipate and develop with the staff a stronger series of penalties, which I think I agree with Richard that should be one violation, they should lose that permit. Period.
Don, just two thoughts about that. First of all, as you know, state law does not require currently that these animals be killed before they leave the premises, so there's no violation if these animals are sold live and taken out of the shop live. Secondly, it's not clear to me that anybody would be put out of business by what we've done so far. The shops involved do not sell just live frogs and turtles. They sell a lot of other things, and this is only one aspect of any business. So it's not clear to me that what we've done right now is having a devastating effect on anybody's business. But it is clear to me it's having a devastating effect on our native wildlife in California.
Mike, I just go back to my original comment that no matter what we do, it's not going to change it overnight. And if we can delay the hurt on more citizens of this state and this country for a short time by doing this, I think it's the right thing to do. So I'll call for a roll call.
Commissioner Dan Richards?
No.
Commissioner Mike Sutton?
No.
Commissioner Richard Rogers?
No.
Commissioner Don Beinhoven?
Yes.
Commissioner Jim Kellogg?
Yes.
3-2, the vote fails to carry.
No. That means that the action taken at the April 8, 2010 commission meeting stands.
May I make a comment, Mr. President?
Yes, sir.
Having said that, I am very disturbed by the implications for the impact on law-abiding small businesses, as one might expect. I would, having taken this vote, I think it is imperative that the department and our staff, as we had indicated, and both Mike and Dan had indicated, that we press forward immediately with possible additions and or alterations to what we have already done, which I think, frankly, is wildly overdue, but that we redouble or quadruple our efforts to make certain that we are not damaging local businesses that are doing the right thing. And we need language. I do believe we need language to that effect, and we need the calendar. We need to press forward with an alteration.
Commissioner Beinhoven.
John, could you tell us what the timeline is on the issuing of permits for Asian?
Last year there were a total of 49 permits issued that allowed for this activity. This year to date, we've issued 16 permits. Now, we've I think since your action in March or in April have returned permit applications. So there may be people already who've been not been able to get a permit, but 16 permits last through the course of the current year.
And they're issued on a
annual basis.
Okay.
Okay. That takes care of item number one. We're going to move
on
to
Mr. President, if I may.
Richard, I didn't know you were still talking.
No, I didn't. I don't mean to be interrupting you, sir. I think we're still. I had requested that we as a commission take an action to direct our staff and the department to come back to us with potential alterations that are kinder, if you will, to law-abiding businesses and the various ethnicities that apparently would be impacted by this, although I must say I continue to be amazed that no one said anything about this until we took our action.
Mr. President, it's Mike Sutton. I can support what Mr. Rogers is suggesting. However, I think we need to go a little bit further. Clearly, this is not our decision today is not the end of this issue, because I think we all recognize the need to reexamine what we've done and make adjustments as necessary, fine-tune the regulatory process here, the regulatory landscape. We've actually heard two suggestions today, however, that I think we need to follow up on. One is the one that Commissioners Benninghoven and Rogers have referred to, the need to be fair and equitable to small businesses involved in the live animal trade for human consumption. The other suggestion we've heard, however, which I'm interested at least in pursuing and exploring, is how to widen this prohibition to include all the import of all non-native frogs and turtles. So, because obviously leaving the import of some native frogs and turtles imported for other purposes other than consumption is a loophole. So if we're going to examine this, I'd like to do it comprehensively and hear the department and our staff suggestions and how we might proceed on both of those fronts.
Mr. President, I completely agree with Commissioner Sutton's commentary on this. I think we do need to go further. I think we have left a loophole. And I think that blaming the well-intended and well-operating merchants of whether it's Stockton Street or whatever would be in fact unfair, and we would need to go forward to broaden this.
So, two things. Then, Mr. Carlson left the meeting and has another appointment that he needs to take care of. So, I'm John Fisher, and I'm here to kind of help out with this. I think that we have another motion that it sounds like is being crafted right now based on the commissioner testimony that's given. Are we ready with that, Adriana?
Yeah, I think so. I may need some assistance to make sure that I'm reflecting your thoughts here. But I think that motion that I'm hearing would be to direct staff to come back with recommendations on regulatory, legislative, and or policy solutions to close the loop, ensuring that these non-native animals are humanely euthanized prior to leaving food market premises, increase penalties violations, and also to explore comprehensively the issue of importation of non-native species. Is that correct, Commissioners?
Commissioner Rogers, would that cover what you were headed for?
Yes, it would. If we leave in place where we currently are as a fallback, which I'm not comfortable with where we currently are, Mr. President. I just am not comfortable. I share your concerns. But having, I raised my hand to be on the Fish and Game Commission to protect California's wildlife. And there is prima facie evidence. You don't have to know Professor Schaefer's work to know that there's absolutely prima facie evidence that these animals are in fact harming the native animals in our state. So I, as I raised my hand to do this work, as the senator said, for the big bucks, I would be very, very concerned were we not to pursue this with real vigor.
Oh, did you just make that motion that Adriana read then?
I did, but I want to make certain that I will do that. But I want to make certain that the rest of the nation share my concerns for California Native Wildlife. I don't mean that as an insult. No, you do. But in this particular instance, we are being assaulted, if you will, and in some cases accused of something that I found, in addition to Commissioner Richards, offensive. And I want to make certain that our action is very clear and does not compromise in any particular area.
Adriana, can you read that proposed motion again? I'm sorry. I didn't catch the full nuance the first time around.
Sure. So the motion would be to direct staff to come back with recommendations on regulatory, legislative, and or policy solutions to close the loop and ensure that non-native animals are humanely euthanized prior to leaving food market premises, to increase penalties for violations, and to explore comprehensively the non-native species importation issues. And to be very clear, that would leave existing policy as adopted by the commission.
So moved.
Dave, I got a second.
Second.
I got
second was by Don.
Second. Anybody want to talk on that?
Yeah, this is Dan. I'd like to say something. In concept, I'm okay with this. The biggest problem I'm having here is this loophole we're actually putting back into our direction here, which is this language on humane treatment of aphid species that we're going to allow imported. And I want to be clear from at least my standpoint, I can't hardly imagine a situation where I'm going to be okay with the importation of any non-native species, any. And so whether they're humanely killed and eaten later on is not an issue to me. It's, are we going to let them in to begin with? So I'm okay with the staff certainly doing the research and look at how to close loopholes, but that nuance within that motion, not something that would, I can conceive, would get my support anyway.
Okay, any other questions or comments from the commission before I call for a vote? Okay, I'm calling for a roll call vote, John.
Okay, roll call vote. Commissioner Banninghoven?
Yes.
Commissioner Richards?
Yes.
Okay, Commissioner Rogers?
Yes.
Commissioner Sutton?
Yes.
Commissioner Kellogg?
Yes.
So this motion has been passed unanimously, 5-0 vote, and for the record, Deputy Director Anna Shea has that motion written down clearly, and that will be reflected in our meeting material.
Okay, that concludes item number one on our agenda, and we're going to take a 5-minute break just so we can take care of some personal business and come right back to item number two.
Because we're going to leave this line hot for a few minutes, so you don't need to disconnect. Thanks, Dan.
You're welcome. Richard.
Commissioner Sutton?
Mike's here.
Thank you.
So we have all commissioners present, and we're moving on to agenda item two. Agenda item 2A is consideration and possible adoption and ratification of commission findings on the petition to list the California tiger salamander as an endangered species. By way of background, commissioners, at your March 3rd, 2010 meeting, you made a finding that the petition to list the California tiger salamander was warranted. Now we're scheduled to have you consider and adopt or ratify the commission findings to list California tiger salamander. That's agenda item 2A. I have no public speakers on this. You have the findings in front of you, commissioners. They were distributed at the May meeting, and you have them in your binders. If you have any questions on those findings, I think the department would be prepared to respond to those questions.
So we do have a, if there are no questions from the commission, we have a suggested motion. And I'll have staff read that suggested motion.
It's moved and seconded that the Fish and Game Commission hereby ratifies its findings of March 3rd, 2010, that the information in the petition and the department staff's report warrants adding the California tiger salamander to the list of threatened species.
That's a motion. Do I hear somebody making that motion?
So moved, Sutton and Monterey.
Second.
I got a second from Commissioner Benninghoven. We'll call for a roll call vote.
Okay. Commissioner Benninghoven?
Aye.
Commissioner Richards?
No.
Rogers?
Yes.
Commissioner Sutton?
Yes.
Commissioner Kellogg?
No.
So we have three yeses and two noes. This passes 3-2.
Okay. Item 2B.
Number 2B is consideration and possible adoption of proposed changes to Section 675. Commissioners, to give you brief background information on this, your staff started a rulemaking effort to add California tiger salamander to Section 670.5 in Title 14 to the list of animals declared to be threatened. And we're now ready to adopt that regulatory amendment and to add that species to Title 14.
And we do have a suggested, if there's no questions or comments from the commission, we've got a suggested motion for item 2B.
The motion is that the commission, pursuant to authority vested by sections specified in the code 270 and 207.5.5, and to implement and interpret and make specific sections of the code that are identified here formally in the motion, hereby amend Section 670.5 of Title 14 to add California tiger salamander to the list of threatened species.
Okay, I need a commissioner to identify themselves for making that motion.
So moved, Commissioner Sutton and Monterey.
Second, Commissioner Rogers.
Okay, we got a motion and a second. I'm going to call for a roll call vote.
Commissioner Benninghoven?
Aye.
Commissioner Richards?
No.
Commissioner Rogers?
Yes.
Commissioner Sutton?
Yes.
Hello.
No.
Okay. This motion is passed 3-2. Agenda item 3?
Agenda 3.
Agenda item 3 is to receive an update on the department's one-year status report recommendation on the petition to list the Pacific fisher as a threatened or endangered species. I have no speaker on this. I presume that Director John McCammon will want to say a few words.
Yes, sir. Thank you very much. Mr. President, Commissioners, on March 3rd, we gave you the status review on the Pacific fisher. We had gone through a year-long process prior to presenting that status review to you. During the discussion at the commission meeting, when that was earlier this month, members of the commission, members of the scientific review group that had been involved in the issue, and the public had expressed some concerns about the scientific review process that we've gone through. So the determination was made by the department after commission discussion earlier this month to recirculate the final petition or the evaluation of the petition and the status review to the public and scientific community to allow them to provide input on that scientific determination that was made and invited that input to come back before the commission at your next regularly scheduled meeting, which is in June. We've set a due date of May 28th for that input and review that input and collate it and provide it to you along with the report that was provided previously. And we'll evaluate our recommendation given that additional input So there's no action requested of you today. It is putting off the issue till the next meeting, but we thought it was worth it in order to try and address the concerns relative to the initial scientific review.
Any comments or questions from the commissioners?
Mr. President, it's Commissioner Sutton. I want to thank the department and Director McCammon for being willing and open to taking another look at the peer review in light of on this issue, in light of the concerns that were raised by Assemblymember Huffman and others regarding the initial and the final draft status review. I think the department is doing the right thing here. I think that it will strengthen the our final decision and the quality and acceptability of the final status review. And I look forward to reading the next draft of that and to discussing this further in our next meeting.
Mr. President.
Excuse me, what was that?
Mr. President.
Yes,
Commissioner Rogers.
Mr. Rogers.
I agree with the remarks of Commissioner Sutton with respect to that this is the appropriate thing to be doing at this point in time. I applaud the department's concerns and the efficacy of their efforts on this issue. I felt very comfortable with what the department had done previously when we actually made the decision originally, and understand the need for this extension of the time period, and am in accordance with it. But I wanted to reiterate here that I felt the department conducted themselves properly all along.
Okay. Any more comments or questions from the commission? Do any of the satellite commissioners have speaker cards in your possession for this issue?
Santa Barbara, no.
Monterey, no.
Ontario, no.
Okay, there's no action to be taken, so we have no speaker cards here either. We'll move on to item four.
Okay. Agenda item four is discussion and possible adoption of proposed changes to Section 750 of Title 14, Central Valley Salmon Sport Fishing. This is scheduled to receive public testimony and for possible adoption of the proposed changes to Section 7.50 of Title 14 regarding Central Valley Sport Fishing regulations. By way of background, at the March meeting in Ontario, the department provided a presentation on this matter. There were no public speakers. At the April 8th meeting, the department additionally provided an update on this matter, and the commission received public testimony. I have no speaker cards here in Sacramento. Are there any speaker cards in the satellite offices on this?
There is one in Santa Barbara.
Okay, one in Santa Barbara. We have, I think, somebody from the department, I believe, to speak first. Is there anybody, any other speaker cards at the other satellite offices?
None in Ontario.
None in Monterey.
Okay, then I believe we have Mr. Neil Manji with the Department of Fish and Game to give us a brief overview of this. Then we can take public testimony, and you can ask questions, Commissioner, or take action. So, Mr. Manji.
Thank you, Mr. Fisher. Neil Manji, Fish and Game, Fisher's Branch. As you knew, we were prepared to talk about this at the last meeting and hopefully have discussion and adoption. We asked the commission at their April meeting to postpone this so we could do some additional analysis, and we have done the analysis and are prepared to present what the department feels is the most appropriate regulatory package at this time. Just for background, the council decided at the April 15th meeting the allocations for OSHA and FTA, and within that, they had allocated 12.6% the harvestable fish for the Central Valley to the Central Valley Inland Anglers. That 12.6% came out to be 8,200 fish. The reason they came up with 12.6% is that is historically during an average year. Based on the last 6 years. In River has been getting about 12.6%. So that was where they started with and moved forward, very similar to what the Klamath does. That allocation was then divided into four areas within the Central Valley. That is, the American River would get 2,000 fish, the Feather River would get 2,000 fish, the Upper Sacramento River would get 2,600 fish, and the Lower Sacramento would get 3,600 fish. We also, at the same time, did an analysis and determined that we could continue a late fall run fishery. The runs are okay enough to allow that. We did some slight modifications of the season for late fall run because we had encountered in the last 2 years one winter run tag return. So we wanted to change the season slightly for the late fall run so we would ensure that we would not hit any winter run fish. As you remember, the previous 2 years we talked about missing fall run fish, but we did hit one run fish, which is endangered. So right now there was a discussion whether we leave a quota fishery for the four rivers and have a daily update of take and real-time creel. After talking with the anglers and also talking with protection in the regions, it seemed more appropriate that we went to a season very similar to the ocean under the harvest rate, what we would expect to be caught during a period of time to meet that quota. The dates I'm about ready to give you are not necessarily at the early of the season, not towards the late of the season, and it's towards the middle of the season. The closer you get to peak angling effort, as you know, and the peak of the run, the shorter the season you'll have to hit the quota. So we tried to talk with the constituents to try to find a date that would at least give them anywhere from 2 to 4 weeks of fishing. The Feather River, to start with, we have a season proposed from July 1st through August 29th, and that would be
31st.
Oh, excuse me, July 31st to August 29th, and that would give us an area between the mouth of the Feather, where at Verona, where it hits the Sacramento, to 1,000 feet below Thermalito After Bay Outlet. The reason we had to delay again last go-round was that we did not have in current regulations a definition of an area below the Thermalito outlet. If you are familiar with that area, that's the area where a substantial amount of illegal snagging occurs. So we wanted to eliminate that area. If we would have kept that area in under current regulation, the limit or the quota would have been caught very, very quickly. The second area is the American River from October 30th through November 28th, and that would be from Ansel Hoffman Park down to the mouth. There's already current closures within that area above Ansel Hoffman during that period of time, so we decided to keep it closed. The Lower Sacramento River, which would be from the Highway 113 bridge, which is Knight's Landing, to the Carquinez Bridge, would be September 4th through October 3rd. And the Upper Sacramento River from the Deschutes Road Bridge to 500 feet, Deschutes Road Bridge to 500 feet above Red Bluff Diversion Dam would be October 9th through October 31st. In conjunction and overlapping that regulation would be a similar Upper Sacramento River Lake Fall Run fishery from Red Bluff Diversion down to Highway 113 bridge, and that would allow us to fish all the way through October 9th through December 12th. So as you can see, the Upper Sacramento Fall Run fishery would run from the 9th to the 31st. The Late Fall Run fishery would run from the 9th through December 12th. But during the Late Fall Run fishery, you would not be able to go above the Bluff Diversion because that would be hitting too many reforming fish. So that's a little nuance there. During the whole season that salmon season's open, the take will be two adult fish. or two fish. That's all I have right now. I can answer if you may have.
Okay, before we go to that, let's get our public testimony, and then we'll... Actually, if you got questions for Neil, commissioners, we can do that before we go to public.
Commissioner Rogers.
Richard.
I wanted to congratulate Neil for, while Director Carlson is not in the room, for being as succinct as Director Carlson would have liked him to be.
I appreciate that, Director Roberts. Commissioner Rogers.
Any others? Okay, Commissioner Benny, hold it.
Neil, just a quick question. Do you anticipate a lot of concentration on that upper Sacramento because it's the only fishing available that last month in December?
Yes, it depends. Usually not a whole lot, but what we see is a lot of fishermen that are hunters usually stop fishing in the beginning of that period of time. But we still have done the analysis, and if we were to open up above all the way to the Tooth Road Bridge, we'd probably have to cut the season by at least a couple more weeks because there are a lot of late normal fall run fish still up there spawning. So yes, and that has been the demarcation for the late fall and have been the Red Bluff diversion downstream to Knight's Landing.
Thank you.
Good job, Neil. Dan Richard, do you have a public speaker card?
I do not.
Oh, you got it in Santa Barbara, Richard Rogers?
I do. And here, my public speaker will identify himself.
Now?
Yes.
Commissioner's Paul Weakland. I think Neil Manji's gone through an extra effort here, but he still has not given us some of the things that we want. We have asked, to put it in better perspective, the number of fishermen that are utilizing this area. We know this is a known number. Why is he camouflaging it and manipulating the information? How many people is he actually catering to? The other thing is just two fish. He's elusive. Two fish per day, no seasonal limit, two fish for the season. Obviously, we have to read it for ourselves. The other thing is the enforcement and the quota system. We know that the quota will be, but by how much? We know that the enforcement is lax, and how is he better going to improve his quota concepts? Thank you.
Okay, that concludes public testimony. We do have a suggested motion, if the commission's ready, from staff.
And before I read that motion, Mr. Manji, there are no options for the commission to specify other than the recommendations that the department has. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay, thank you. Then the motion is that the Fish and Game Commission, pursuant to authority vested by Sections 200, 202, 205, 215, 220, and several other ones specified here in the official text, and to implement or interpret or make specific sections 200, 202, and several others specified here in the text, hereby amends section 7.50 of Title 14 of the Central Valley Salmon Sport Fishing Regulations. Regulatory language will be included on the commission's website.
Commissioners, also move.
So move.
Second.
Okay, we got a motion and a second. We'll call for a roll call vote.
Commissioner Benninghoven?
Aye.
Commissioner Richards?
Aye.
Commissioner Rogers?
Yes.
Commissioner Sutton?
Yes.
Commissioner Kellogg?
Yes.
Motion is passed 5-0. Unanimous.
Okay, we'll move on to item 5.
Agenda item 5 is the receipt of hearing officer recommendation on license and permit items. We have one item on this. It's Harvey Gonzalez recommendation to permanent Oaks commercial fishing license and Southern rock crab, tidal invertebrate, and general trap permits. My understanding, we have one public speaker in Ontario. Is that true?
I do have one public speaker in Ontario, yes.
Okay, so the commission president will decide the speaker time here. By way of background, the appeal hearing was held, and you have a proposed decision in your meeting binders. You will take action on this proposed decision in the executive session.
The amount of time for a speaker? 3 minutes.
3 minutes?
3 minutes. Okay, this is Mr. Ray Ochoa, and he is an attorney. And I will turn it over to you, Ray. You have 3 minutes.
Thank you very much. Commission members and staff, good morning. I wish to address several issues with regard to the proposal from the Administrative Law Judge, Rebecca Westmore. With regard to her findings, you will note that she points to a conviction in Santa Barbara with a no contest plea to a 122. That was not for fishing lobster. That was for not having logbook, and that is a serious error with regard to legally basing her decision on that to take a license away, the license permits away from Mr. Gonzalez. The other issue is Lieutenant Seforza indicating when he went to Mr. Gonzalez's home, he did not have his fishing license with the time and permits. There is no law that said that, and again, the administrative law judge based her decision to revoke Mr. Harvey's permit, Gonzalez's permits, because he did not have a license in possession at his home at 7 in the morning. The law clearly states on permit, you are to have a permit and identifiable ID on you when you're engaged in that activity. The other issue is the issue of the judge basing her revocation on the fact that Mr. Gonzalez continued to apply for and obtain his fishing permit at the organization. This is a fault of the commission, and it's not the commission, but the Fish and Game Department itself. In evidence number 6 that was presented by the people or by your attorneys, Lieutenant Seforza indicates and opines that this is a problem, that people send in their permits unsigned and routinely get them approved without them signing it. This is a custom and practice in the industry that Lieutenant Seforza was quite angry with and quite upset about it. In fact, it's part of the record. The other issue is that because of this, the judge indicated that, at best, Gonzalez, his signing the application and send them in is negligent, but at most it could be malfeasance. Well, which is it? We need clear and convincing evidence on the issue of what it was. There's no foundational evidence that Mr. Gonzalez will not be able to conform to the law in the future. I'm sorry, Mr. Gonzalez has 20 years of fishing experience. He had three fishermen with in excess of 25 years, 20 years, and 18 years.
You need to wrap up. Your 3 minutes is up.
Thank you very much. Just 1 second, please. The judge herself admits these are harsh consequences. And yet on the same issue on number 4.
That's it. Your time's up.
She indicates that he has an excellent reputation.
If I could break in here for a moment, I just wanted to, this is Adriana, and I just wanted to give an opportunity to our Deputy Attorney General, Rick, to explain a little bit why this is on the agenda. This is not normal practice for the commission, and I wanted to make sure everyone is clear as to why we're hearing this item in this way.
The request to appear before the commission is a legitimate request by Mr. Gonzalez's lawyer. However, what you've just heard is not what we would anticipate this lawyer bringing to you. The individual, Mr. Gonzalez, has had his hearing before the Office of Administrative Hearings. This is not an occasion for his lawyer to come back to you and retry that as he's tried to do here. But we let him do that without knowing what he'd say, and we'll try to take steps in the future to prevent that kind of intrusion on your time. by clarifying what this opportunity to speak to you means, what we intended and will try to control, is if there's something about the administrative hearing process that the applicant feels inherently unfair, such as they were prevented from putting on testimony or some of that drastic nature, which would be very unusual in my view, then that might be something you'd entertain. But this is not going to be a forum for reaching the case. If Mr. Gonzalez wants to challenge that decision, if it's adopted by the issue, which will come before you later, in executive session, then he has the courts as his recourse for that.
And I want to clarify and add that, commissioners, you are not required to have discussion on this item at this time. We can reserve that for executive session.
And that's exactly what we're going to do. We're going to go right to the executive session.
Excuse me. May I respond just briefly? I would like to add one thing to
No, you can't. I'm not going to let you respond. We're going to go into our executive session. That means that the commissioners on the phone are going to have to clear their room. People who don't belong in the executive session will clear the room here. People who don't belong in the session, and we'll take care of that, and then we'll come back for our announcement of results, executive session, and the consent calendar to close out our meeting.
Mr. President, this is Richard in Santa Barbara. I have three members of the public. How long would you anticipate our recess here or executive session to be?
30 minutes is a rough guess.
Thank you, sir.
Okay, so we're going...
Commissioners, if you'd like to stay on the line, we'll clear the room. You can do the same and let us know when you're ready to go.
And we need to have AGP indicate that they're off the line. Okay, you give it... send us and let us know what number to alert you at when we're ready to come back.
This one. Contact if we can get Carolyn here, she can probably contact them. But we can go forward.
Yeah. We got satellite offices on board.
Santa Barbara's here.
Monterey's here.
Okay, John, let's move forward with item number 6 on the agenda, announcement of results of from executive session.
AG's office. Deputy Attorney General Rick Dahlhammer.
The commission took two actions. One, to reject a settlement offer in the PICA litigation with the Committee for Biological Diversity. And second, to adopt the hearing officer decision in the Gonzalez matter.
Okay, that concludes the announcement of the results. Any questions, Commissioner? All right. Moving on to the consent calendar. Just keep in mind that one commissioner did have questions about item number 10.
Did you want that removed?
That's what I would.
That was done in executive session.
You really can't deal with
it. My staff pointed out that on item 9 for the state water bottom lease for Marin County, I believe that's 9A, that the amount of time is to be determined, the extension of the lease, the time is to be determined by the commission, and I don't believe we have a specific time to extend that lease for, do we?
No, we do not, not as of yet.
Okay. Do we need that now? Staff seems to be suggesting that we need that now, or otherwise...
The suggestion is for 180
days, I'm sorry. Thank you, yes.
Oh, I'm sorry, Adrian, I guess you're right. No, it's not an official lease extension. What it is a short-term thing.
Right, until we get a lease template complete.
Of course. The Aquaculture Committee would be in accordance with that.
Okay, so this is what happened in the past, and it was 180 days, and are we suggesting that it be 180 now?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. So with that correction, then I don't know of anything else on the consent calendar that anybody's spoken to.
All right, do I have a motion to move the consent calendar?
There is a public commentary on the consent calendar here in Santa Barbara.
Oh.
For which item?
Which item?
Nine.
And ten.
Go ahead. Okay, let's take the public comment on 9 and 10.
Okay, Paul.
Commissioners, Paul Weakland. How many extensions are acceptable? The fishing game continually makes deadlines and never meets them. This is getting pretty ridiculous. The redundancy and repetitiveness of this. We know that aquaculture has a tactical timeline, they say, yet they're not yet to strike. They're not ready to strike or attack at this time. These kind of problems are very disconcerting. Still, you do not want to talk about the past conduct and practices of these businesses. We know that several of them are responsible for the introduction of the sub-belted worm, the African polychaete worm, into these areas, but we know how you work. You just want to ignore it. These things are a great concern. You're talking about invasive species. This is one of the worst. The diseases that have been introduced already, you don't want to talk about it. You want to give them a fresh start. We'll keep extending these out until people forget. Do you want to buy some shares in an aquaculture pyramid? How about some stock in a mariculture Ponzi consortium? We know that the value and worth of these products are negligible compared to the investment scams and schemes. We believe that some antitrust laws need to be explored and that they have not paid their use taxes in California. These things all should be looked into before any more leases are allowed. And they have bills that are outstanding. And part of the past conduct and practices that we're asking to be explored is how many of these facilities have gone bankrupt in the past, leaving their creditors and holders with nothing. Thank you. On number 10, the value and worth of this study. The Navy has done these studies. Kelco, the large commercial kelp harvesting, has done these studies. Many private people have done these studies. It's redundant, repetitive, again, over and over. How many times has this been done in the past with failure? But we know what you do. You purge the files. You cleanse the records of all the failures so we can continue getting this grant money. If our state and country are out of money, how come these redundant, repetitive grants keep getting delivered? These things are not in the best interest of the public. We submit that the public trust is being violated by you continually giving them a fresh start. That is all.
As president of this commission, I'm going to ask all you commissioners to stop scheming and conniving, please.
No,
we do have a motion.
I'm looking for a second.
Second.
You made a motion and a second.
I'll second.
We got a motion and a second to approve the consent calendar. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
We need to do a roll call.
Aye.
We'll do a roll call because we're all in
Conference.
Aye.
Commissioner Richards is not here. Commissioner Rogers?
Yes.
Sutton?
Yes.
Commissioner Kellogg?
Yes.
4-0.
Thank you, guys. The meeting is adjourned.
Thank you all.
Thank you.